Blog Talk Radio.
It's time to start.
오빤 강남 스타일. 강남 스타일. 낮에는 따사로운 인간적인 여자. 커피 한 잔에 여유를 아는 품격 있는 여자. 밤이 오면 심장이 뜨거워지는 여자. 그런 반전 있는 여자. 너는 선어해. 낮에는 너만큼 따사로운 그런 선어해. 커피 식기도 전에 원샷 때리는 선어해. 밤이 오면 심장이 터져버리는 선어해. 그런 선어해. 아름다워 사랑스러워 그래 너 hey. 그래 바로 너 hey. 아름다워 사랑스러워 그래 너 hey. 그래 바로 너 hey. 지금부터 갈 때까지 가볼까 go, go, go. 오빤 강남 스타일 강남 스타일 오빤 강남 스타일 강남 스타일 오빤 강남 스타일
Hey sexy lady
오빤 강남 스타일
Hey sexy lady
잘 보이지만 볼 땐 노는 여자 이때다 싶으면 묶었던 머리 푸는 여자 가렸지만 웬만한 노출보다 야한 여자 그런 감각적인 여자 나는 선어해 점잖아 보이지만 놀 땐 노는 선어해 내가 되면 완전 미쳐버리는 선어해 근육보다 사상이 울퉁불퉁한 선어해 그런 선어해 오빤 강남 스타일 강남 스타일 오빤 강남 스타일 강남 스타일 오빤 강남 스타일
Hey sexy lady
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 오빤 강남 스타일 오빤 강남 스타일 오빤 강남 스타일 강남 스타일 낮에는 따사로운 인간적인 여자 커피 한 잔에 여유를 아는 품격 있는 여자 밤이 오면 심장이 뜨거워지는 여자 그런 반전 있는 여자 너는 선어해 낮에는 너만큼 따사로운 그런 선어해 커피 식기도 전에 원샷 때리는 선어해
the 머리 푸 오빤 강남 스타일 강남 스타일 낮에는 따사로운 인간적인 여자 커피 한 잔에 여유를 아는 품격 있는 여자 밤이 오면 심장이 뜨거워지는 여자 그런 반전 있는 여자 Gangnam Style.
I think so. She's on a bit of a delay. Now she can hear us.
Okay, good.
I think we're back, Jimmy.
Oh,
Jimmy, what did you do to us, man? Did you bring some gremlins up from Bloomington?
Well,
see, that's why Purdue doesn't like IU.
I've been at all the IU football games this year. Not only did I definitely bring some gremlins up with me, I brought them into this building. There's no question that I'm the reason that this thing's going to get off the ground. I'm just glad that we're firing all cylinders.
Well, those of you that have been listening to us nationally, and I hope our affiliate radio stations have played something more than Gangheim style.
I don't think that's how it's
I want to see Pete out there. How do you pronounce it?
I'm 80% sure it's Gangheim.
80%. So there is a possibility that it's
pronounced. I've heard it pronounced like five different ways. So people call it Gangheim style, as my uncle does.
You know, it sounds like condom style.
No comment. I'll refrain from comment there. I like the first time what it was called Mambo number 5.
Mambo number 5.
One-hit wonder.
All right, guys. Well, speaking of one-hit wonders, if we don't get on with our show, that's exactly what we're going to do.
Sure, let's do that.
Let's get on with our show, guys. Well, as you know, Balance Radio Network, we're here live at Purdue University, just across the street from the stadium on Stadium Drive. McDonald's stop on by Northwestern and Stadium. And we're talking about the old Oaken Bucket, obviously, IU and Purdue. Now, we were in the middle of a conversation when the Gremlins decided that they were going to pop up. So, Jimmy the intern, let's start back with the heritage and history of this game. Obviously, it's big for both teams. And in this situation, we throw away all the records. Obviously, today we do that anyway because we don't want to think about what's happened with Purdue and IU going forward. But IU, what's it mean to IU? You're a student down at IU, obviously, and Evan couldn't join us today. But talk to us about IU and what it means as a student.
Well, Tom, I mean, just the way this game is perceived nationally as opposed to how it is locally, no one really is aware of the old Oaken Bucket game outside the state of Indiana. It's a lot like the Modon Bell between DePaul and Wabash, where if you grew up in the state, if you have any familiarity with college football, it's something that you're aware of, that you know about. I know all the folks that are just sitting here in McDonald's getting ready to go to the game, getting ready to watch the game somewhere. They're in a situation where they're prepared to watch a contest between two teams that probably aren't going to bowl, especially if Purdue can't get it done today. Mm-hmm. Even if they are bowl-eligible 6-6, there aren't a whole lot of bowl-eligible teams this year. But Purdue has not looked like a team that's going to be very good. If they do qualify for postseason play, it's probably going to be bowl game in Detroit, Poinsettia Bowl, the Motor City Bowl, the Little Caesars Bowl. Yeah, the Little Caesars Bowl would be totally appropriate
for the
way that we've seen Purdue play this year. It was a team that people thought was Danny Hope's greatest team. Danny Hope said that it was his best team that he'd had at Purdue. And they come in, they get blown out in games against Wisconsin, against Michigan, they get in a shootout with Marshall, of all teams. That's something that people looked at. And they said this team might get a bit of trouble. But still, there are going to be people. There are at least going to be people tailgating. Which sounds familiar if you're telling them a full time. Yeah, it does.
Yeah.
And if you're familiar with Indiana football, not going to the football game itself and rather just tailgating is something that seems pretty familiar. But it's something where the bucket game is ingrained into the culture of West Lafayette. People are familiar with it, especially when Joe Tiller was here. It was a game where Purdue was on a national stage. And this is their last chance to really take it to their rivals. In the past decade or so, there have been more blowouts than there have been IU victories. Now, there are more Purdue blowouts. It's not a situation where IU is able to come into this game and be proud of what they are as a football team. It really Purdue's game to lose traditionally. And this year, the fact that it's pretty up in the air, it's going to be a little disappointing.
Well, it's got to be a huge disappointment for Coach Hope. And you know, we've talked about it here on this show before. I think what we're looking at in a situation that possibly even as soon as tomorrow, Monday, Coach Hope will be dismissed as the head coach at Purdue. And that's a sad fall from grace, if you will, especially if you look at where he was able to take Purdue, and obviously with the talent that he has on board. Pete?
Okay, Pete's like, no, but if we're looking at this, even when you say that it's been a fall from grace where he was able to take Purdue, Danny Hope hasn't done jack at Purdue. When you look at what he's had to work with, obviously Joe Tiller didn't leave the program in great straits when he left, but Danny Hope came in and was supposed to turn them around pretty quickly. He had all these recruiting routes to Florida. He was going to bring in skill. skilled player who's going to get the program turned around back to where they were to the heights of the Joe Tiller days. Drew Brees, Kyle Orton, they were on the national stage, and he hasn't done anything approaching that. Last year, blown out at home against Notre Dame. This year, they play him pretty close. There's some reason for hope. No pun intended, of course. But the way that he continues to rotate his quarterback, the defense with the talent of players it has, Bruce Gaffney, long short, has continued to struggle. Purdue has just not nearly lived up to the expectation. It's really a microcosm of what the entire Danny Hope experience has been about. Failed promise and falling short of expectation. That's why, in all odds, he's going to be fired after this game.
But now let's look on the other side of the coin. Obviously, Indiana University is having a much better season, especially in the Big Ten. And we laugh about that, but
yeah,
at the same time, who would have thought that they would have been as competitive as they were? Obviously, we're not talking about a bowl game or postseason type situation with IU, at least not in football.
Definitely in basketball.
So
I just heard
it. Your laptop.
I do have my laptop.
Specializes in quality performance for your bike. A distributor for all major suppliers, we can do everything from service and motor work to customizations and insurance estimates. Give us a call at 317-247-8088. Fastlane Cycles Incorporated at 317.
Over the course of history, there have been many great revolutions. The French Revolution, the American Revolution, the Cuban Revolution, and now in 2012, there's a brand new revolution for the fan. The Fan Revolution. IndyProSports.com. That's IndyProSports.com. IndyProSports is for the serious Indiana fan who roots for the Colts, the Pacers, the Indians, and so much more. Make sure you check out IndyProSports.com. Be a part of the revolution on Twitter, Pro Indy, and on Facebook, Indy Pro Sports.
Mute your phone.
Okay.
Network. We are live from Purdue University. We're still trying to put this together.
Jimmy. We are trying to fix that as it's very evil live radio.
Absolutely. Well, I think the echo went away. I hope that people can still hear us. Well, we'll just do it the old fashioned way. how does that sound? All right. Well, let's talk a little bit about today's game. We've gotten totally off track and totally off schedule, but hopefully we can regain. Let's talk about the points and the highlights of the game. Obviously, as we just said, all records go out the window today. Purdue has to beat IU. IU has to beat Purdue. But at this point, if Coach Hope and Purdue are able to beat IU, does that save his job?
No. I mean, he just hasn't done well enough, period, to be able to save his job at this point. It reminds me a lot of what we saw from Bill Lynch a couple of years ago, where he went totally winless in conference before the bucket game, managed to win that one, finished 5-6, or one game shy of bowl eligibility, and he still got canned. People were wondering if Fred Glass was going to keep Lynch around as a result of keeping that win and being able to save his job that way. And it just didn't end up working out. We saw him get canned, and we saw Kevin Wilson come right in. And even going to a 1-11 season, it was a situation where he obviously wasn't going to be stepping in to a team that had a whole lot. And this Purdue squad reminds me a lot of that, because this has been the season, for the most part, they've been building to. They have two anchors on the defensive line. We've talked a lot of Bruce Gaston. We've talked about Kawan Short all year long. These are two guys who could be playing on Sundays, very well should be. Kawan Short, especially, is an athletic freak. There's a spot for him in the starting lineup of an NFL defensive line. And Bruce Gaston, someone else, you've got guys on the back end of the secondary, Ricardo Allen particularly. You have NFL talent on the defense, and the offense has been supremely disappointing with the rotating quarterback play, with different guys struggling to get any rhythm going, whether it's been Robert Marv, whether it's been Rob Henry, whether it's been whoever they throw back there, because there are three different guys. There are three or four different guys where they've tried to put in a quarterback at the same time under Danny Hope, and none of them have been successful in getting things going.
Well, and absolutely. And IU has had a kind of bit of a struggle as well. Obviously, last year, we look at IU wanting to put another link back into the bucket.
Yeah.
Here's the thing that IU has to do. They have to play how they've been played. I don't think that IU has to change their game at all to be pretty
good. Yeah, and honestly, that's a little disturbing if you think about where Purdue is supposed to be as opposed to where they currently are, because Purdue was a team that at the beginning of the season gave Notre Dame all they can handle. Notre Dame right now is the number one team in the country, and we've belabored this point a bit. But they were supposed to be the superior team coming into this year. They beat IU last year. They were supposed to beat IU last year. And they were supposed to be better this season than they were during the last campaign. IU is supposed to improve as a young team. But to come in and say that you expect Purdue to beat IU is normally a given. It's been a given traditionally. And it's just not been the case this season.
So you say that IU has a passing grade this year, at least a mediocre grade, and Purdue has a failing grade this year?
I would say so, just based on expectations. When you come into the season expecting to compete for a Big Ten division championship, at least, and as many jokes as we were making about IU and the road to the Rose Bowl and all that nonsense that we were talking a couple weeks ago, it was a realistic look for Purdue's season at the beginning of the year. As much as people were talking about IU potentially being in the title game, when Wisconsin was struggling, it was Purdue that was expected to benefit from that. They were the team in that division that was supposed to be able to step up with both Ohio State and Penn State ineligible, and Wisconsin kept one. The rest of the teams in that division are Purdue, Indiana, and Illinois. And neither IU or Illinois was supposed to do anything. Illinois has been god-awful all year, and Indiana is Indiana. In the words of Tom Crean a couple of years ago, it's Indiana. It's a team that's never been very good at football. It's been a pipe dream to even consider a Rose Bowl. Purdue was supposed to be the team that was supposed to have an opportunity to contend, and they just haven't done it. They fell apart during the first game that they had a chance to make a case for themselves being in that Big Ten title game. And for them,
has just been playing out the string. Dead Man Walking all season long.
Well, let's talk about the Big Ten title game here. What do we think about Nebraska and where the top? Obviously, I think all signs point that at least if Notre Dame beat USC today, they'll be in the championship game. Obviously, that frees up an extra spot in the Rose Bowl. We talked about last week, Wisconsin has a very good shot of being in the Rose Bowl. Wisconsin, Nebraska, one of the Big Ten winners, whoever wins the Big Ten goes to the Rose Bowl.
Sorry, I didn't catch the last part of that question.
I said, is the Big Ten championship, whether it be Nebraska or whether it be Wisconsin, ends up in the Rose Bowl, true or false?
Oh, boy, that's good. Just watching the Big Ten championship game is going to be a depressing exercise just because of the way the Big Ten has played this year. It's a little ridiculous because Ohio State is supposed to be the cream of this crop, and from all looks, it's been that way. And the two games they've struggled with more than anything else have been Indiana and Purdue, ironically. But the way that the Big Ten has been set up this year, Ohio State can go undefeated. They probably will. And they will not have a shot to contend for a national title or even a bowl game. The rest of the Big Ten has had their question marks all along. Wisconsin's starting a third-string quarterback, a guy who had not started a single career game before he picked the field at Memorial Stadium against Indiana. He very nearly led them to an upset of Ohio State, but this is a guy who has not had any experience in leading his team. So you're looking at that for Wisconsin. You're looking at Nebraska as a squad that's traditionally been decent, but this year they've had their question marks. Taylor Martinez, not anyone's idea of a consistent pocket passer. And when you look at the matchup that would take place in the Big Ten title game, I'm more likely to just turn the channel on my TV than watch that game.
Right. Sorry, we're still
dealing with
a few
stuff
there.
Really, everyone's performed pretty much according to what we were looking at from the very beginning, with the exception of Wisconsin. Everyone else has played about as much as we expected them to. Michigan, everyone thought they had some question marks despite their stellar record last year, and they've played to that. Denard Robinson's made some mistakes. Everyone else has played basically the same way they did last year. And despite some early season struggles, they're playing Devin Gardner at quarterback. They're playing Denard Robinson as a running back. And Wisconsin's going to be very, very tough for Ohio State today. You look around the rest of the Big Ten. We talked a little about Nebraska. We talked about you actually mentioned Northwestern, so let's go there. Northwestern, in any other year, would probably be a 6-6, 7-5, maybe 8-win Big Ten team. They had a chance very late in the season to play for the Big Ten championship. So that gives you an idea of how diluted the Big Ten has become. And you just want to look at the recruiting, the state of recruiting across Big Ten country. There have not been as many blue-chip recruits produced in the Big Ten recruiting states as in years past. The king of college football is the SEC. The Big Ten maybe now running a distant second or third even behind the Big 12, or once what was the Big 12 is now the Big 8. Just the way that college football is formed up, the Big Ten right now is not nearly as significant as they once were. In the heart of Big Ten country, that's hard to hear, but it's just the way it is.
And doesn't adding Maryland and Rutgers and then eventually possibly Georgia Tech and who's the other one they're talking about maybe help shore up some of that recruiting that we're losing to the SEC, the Big 12, and the Pac-12?
And they're talking a little bit about that. I think North Carolina is the other team they're discussing. I've seen some talk about North Carolina, which would really freak out some folks in ACC country as one of the charter members. But as much as you might think it would, there's been a little trouble with that, too, because New York, as much as you might think of them producing athletes, they're more of a basketball state. You look at Maryland, it's the same thing. You look at North Carolina, Tobacco Road, you know about that. They talked about Virginia maybe, too. None of these are football-producing states, and really the football tradition of these programs, pretty mediocre. It's a dilution of the product of the Big Ten. It's already diluted as is. They have some traditional football powers who have not been performing as they traditionally do, and they're adding some teams that aren't traditional football powers to begin with. So I look at the Big Ten Conference as a conference that's having a lot of trouble keeping itself above water as is. I mean, they're obviously very successful financially. They've got more money than they know what to do with. But if you want to take a history lesson or just look at things that we've seen go down throughout history, the way the General Motors, we get to take a page out of that book, was run in the 70s, where they had just had a line of horrible products going year after year. It goes that way with anything. The Big Ten has been run successfully enough that they can take a couple financial hits and keep on going, but they're not setting themselves up for success. The Big Ten did not find itself in this position because they brought in diluted football product, and we're seeing more and more of that as the season goes along.
Well, I think this is a statistic I heard maybe 2-3 years ago. What state produced the most high school linemen in the Big Ten? Do you know the answer to that?
Is it Ohio?
Nope.
Indiana?
Nope.
I don't know.
Let me give you, it's not a Big Ten state. It's Georgia. That shows you right there that they've had to go out of the state. And we're talking starters on Big Ten lines. It just amazed me. It was the next closest was Michigan and Ohio. So that says right there that they need to go out to get these good high school players. And maybe part of it is that most of our seasons here in the Great Lakes area end a week or two after Thanksgiving, whereas in Texas, they're just starting their high school playoffs. So these kids are playing till Christmas, so they've got another 4 or 5 weeks of getting it, and they've got people looking at them, and they're still deciding where they want to play ball at. So, I mean, the weather does hamper us a little bit up here in the Midwest, and we love our football, but down there, they love it more.
And even just taking a look, I did not know that about Georgia being the most prolific lineman-producing state.
A year or two ago. I remember hearing that back when I had my own sports show. It just amazed me because we were doing the whole what state, and it wasn't a Big Ten state. It was Georgia.
But that gives you an idea of the bumper crop of talent that's coming from SEC states traditionally. Florida, whenever you hear of big coaching hire made the Big Ten, one of their selling points is that they're going to recruit Florida, that they're going to recruit this, that they're going to recruit the Southern Sun Belt for kids that otherwise would not come. And that was, to get back to the bucket game, that was one of Danny Hope's big selling points. I'm sure all the folks sitting here in this McDonald's know about that. But when he came in, it was supposed to be, what was sold was Danny Hope was going to go down, he was going to recruit Florida, he was going to recruit outside the state. And you've seen some of the guys he's brought in. I believe Ross was a skill position player from there. Everybody knows about Robert Marv as the transfer from Miami. There's some big-ticket talent from out of state, from down south, that's supposed to come in and give Purdue a competitive advantage over the rest of the Big Ten, returning it to what Purdue fans expect from the program, and it just has not come to fruition. Danny Hope saying he might need more time, that he'd like a more understanding and patient fan base to try to turn the program around and build it up the way he'd like to build it up. But he's had a few years. He's had 4 years to get this done, and there really have not been the strides that you would like to see.
Well, and you know, I got a
mic now.
All right.
I think we're almost back to normal.
We're
going to
talk,
but what we do want to do is talk about this Notre Dame USC. This is your team. This is your virus. Obviously, Notre Dame has not had a chance to get to a national championship. And how long, I don't know when the last time we talked about it.
This is their first time ever in the BCS era that they're actually eligible.
USC has caused more problems for Notre Dame. Let's talk about that game today, guys. Big game, probably the biggest game of the year. Notre Dame-USC national championship on the line. Really, it doesn't get any bigger than that.
I mean, it's great. They did with all the chaos we had last week. With 1 and 2 both dropping, we have a chance now for
we have a chance for them, instead of having to wait and see what else happens and falls out, they are actually playing themselves into a game, which was worrying a lot of people, especially up in South Bend. It's like, oh, if we go undefeated, are we not going to get it? Well, now they control their own destiny. One thing that's going to be a big question mark of what if is the quarterback situation with USC. Their regular quarterback goes out in the UCLA game, and now the backup redshirt freshman quarterback is basically guaranteeing a win without taking very many snaps this season for USC. So there's a big what if with all that. But, again, it's in their hands. If they win, then they've got, what, 5-7 weeks? They get to say they're number one, and they got to wait to see who they're going to play, and they'll know shortly after next week who they're going to be playing. So that's a great thing. Another good thing is they're playing after Thanksgiving, unlike one of the issues the Big Ten had before, which was, oh, their season ended the week before Thanksgiving, and then they had people that had to wait almost 2 full months to play a game. Now they're almost on par with all the other people that are playing 2 weeks after. So there's that argument of, oh, well, they're going to sit down. What's going to go on? They're going to have too much time off before the championship. Well, that's going to be kind of null and void.
Now, Jimmy, here's the thing. Obviously, you know that Notre Dame, Coach Kelly, and his team were doing the same thing we were doing. Flip, flip, flop, flip last week. And they saw Oregon and Kansas State go down. You talk about a celebration. What is Notre Dame thinking right now? You know that they have been totally distracted against all the other distractions against facing USC. What does Notre Dame have to do to get to the national championship?
Well, Tom, I'll keep it simple, and I'll say the exact same thing Brian Kelly's telling his team. They have to beat USC. That's all they have to do. I mean, right now they're sitting as the number one team in the country. Last week, when everyone was lamenting and saying that there was no way that Notre Dame could play for a national title, I was sitting tight. I mean, if I'm a Notre Dame fan, I'm doing the same thing. Because, and Pete, I'm sure you were too, that, you know, sure you can say all you want, but Notre Dame is the number three team in the country, can't play the BCS title game. There are 2 weeks to go, and everybody knows that the BCS is nothing if not an eternal you-know-what show where anything can happen on a given week. Everyone remembers last year when I believe it was Oklahoma State that went down to Iowa State. No one saw that game coming. Stanford lost an unexpected contest along the way. And it shouldn't be unexpected for teams to lose unexpected games. For Notre Dame had its game it was supposed to lose against Pittsburgh a couple weeks ago, and they're coming through a USC game, the rivalry game, but they're not looking on its own merits. They're looking at this game because USC beat them last year. USC accused them of quitting last year. If I'm Notre Dame, I have enough motivation coming into that. Forget about the national title. I want to beat these guys in Southern California, and if I do that, I'm going to be playing against Alabama in all likelihood for the national championship later on, but that's down the line. All they have to do this week is worry about USC. And I think Brian Kelly is doing a great job of reminding them of that.
And, need I remind you, you were talking about last year's BCS. Remember 07? We literally went hour by hour hearing that, oh, yeah, it's going to be so-and-so versus so-and-so. Oh, wait. West Virginia drops to Pittsburgh. And then, what was it?
Missouri lost, Chase Daniel, all
yeah,
those guys.
Exactly. So, you know, right there, that explains it. That, I mean, anything could happen. We're sitting here saying that it's all likely going to be Notre Dame versus Alabama. For all we know, it won't be neither of them teams.
That's probably going to be Georgia. It's probably going to be Stanford working their way in.
Watch Georgia lose this week and the next week beat Alabama, and then there is no SEC team.
Who knows?
But then people are saying Florida.
Yeah, and just going off that, I mean, looking at the way that the Trojans have played against the Irish, I'm not looking at this as a shoe-in for Notre Dame by any account, because we've been talking about that for a bit too long. Notre Dame has had their number called by USC. They didn't have Matt Barkley a couple of years ago, and Notre Dame was able to come in and win that game. But Barkley played last year. Notre Dame was favored. They should not have been favored in that game. USC, the much more talented team. Notre Dame was accused of laying down for good reason, because the Trojans came in and they stuck it to them. This should not be viewed as a shoo-in, because at the beginning of the year, you would have had a hard time finding any Notre Dame fan willing to bet money on the Irish going into Southern California and beating what was presumptively the number one team in the country, the USC Trojans. They fall from grace, but they're still incredibly talented guys, and this is not anything resembling an easy win.
And actually, interesting fact about the Trojans, just they're not the worst fall from number one in the BCS era. We had, I can't remember what team somebody said, they actually fell to where they didn't even make a bowl game.
Okay. And guys, we're definitely going to get back to that, but we got to get to the top of the hour break here. But we're going to go to a break. We're going to go to Elizabeth the Greek when we get back. We're here live at McDonald's, obviously. It's Purdue. It's IU. It doesn't get any better than that on Rivalry Weekend right here on the Balance Radio Network. We'll be right back.
Hi, my name is Elizabeth the Greek. Stay tuned. My predictions are coming up. Right here on the Balance Online with the host, Top Mom Chief.
Ladies and gentlemen,
this is happening!
She's fresh, her voice is natural, and she does it simply.
It's time for...
Hello, sports fans, and welcome to today's edition of...
The Elizabeth Go Green!
Well, 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 Elizabeth. Last week, not good at all. Worst week. Your worst week this year. 6-4. So, that's, you have to have bad ones to have good ones. You know that, right? You know what's happened last week because of Notre Dame winning?
What?
They are number one for the first time in your lifetime. We will pick that game, Ollie's, because this is the last regular season game. Ready? Let's go to college. Do you go with the number 4 Florida Gators or the number 10 Florida State Seminoles?
Daddy, what are you going to pick?
Well, you want me to pick games with you? I will do that. But you have to tell me who do you want to pick, and I'll tell you who I pick afterwards, okay? Who do you pick, the Florida Gators or
Florida Gators.
You're going with the Florida Gators? Well, Daddy is actually going to go with the opposite. I'm going to go with the Florida State Seminoles. Let's go to another one. In the Pac-12, the Civil War, number 5, Oregon Ducks, or the number 15, Oregon State Beavers?
Beavers.
Really? You're going to pick against the Ducks? Well, guess what? I'm going just the exact opposite. I'm going with the Ducks. So, let's go to a big one for us here in the Midwest. It's in the Big Ten. Actually, the only other undefeated team versus Michigan. Let's go with the number 19 Michigan Wolverines or the Ohio State Buckeyes.
Buckeyes.
You're going to go with the Buckeyes. And you know what? I think I have to choose that with you too. And our final pick, the big one. I'm actually excited that I get to say this one out
Daddy,
loud.
I know who I'm going to pick.
Yeah, I know who you're going to pick, but you have to hold on until I say both teams, okay?
Okay.
The number one Notre Dame Fighting Irish or the USC Trojans?
Daddy, you go first.
Well, that's a given. Daddy's going to pick Notre Dame. Who are you going to pick?
Notre Dame.
Is that not funny or what? We both picked the same one. Let's move on to the NFL. Okay, our first 1 o'clock game on Sunday. Do you go with the Buffalo Bills or the Indianapolis Colts?
You pick.
Well, you know what's funny? My favorite team versus your favorite team in the NFL. I like the Buffalo Bills. I'll go with the Buffalo Bills. And let me guess, you're going to go with the Indianapolis Colts.
Daddy, I'm going to be with my Indianapolis Colts.
You're going with the Colts. Okay. Minnesota Vikings or the Chicago Bears?
You go first.
I'm going to go with the Minnesota Vikings.
Minnesota Vikings.
Moving on to 4 o'clock on Sunday, are you going with the San Francisco 49ers or the New Orleans Saints?
49ers.
You're going to go with the 49ers. So is Daddy. Coming up to our Sunday night game, do you go with the Green Bay Packers or the New York Football Giants?
The Birds.
The Birds? One of them is a Packer and the other one's a Giant. So again, do you go with the Green Bay Packers or the New York Football Giants?
Giants.
You're going to go with the New York Football Giants. I am going to go with the Green Bay Packers. So And finally, on to Monday Night Football. Do you go with the Carolina Panthers or the Philadelphia Eagles?
Philadelphia Eagles.
The Philadelphia Eagles. And you know what? Daddy's going to do the same, too. So that is...
Match.
Yes, it is a match. Who picked those?
What about the green?
Okay, now you remember your tag?
Don't remember to like me on Facebook, facebook.com/ElizabethTheGreek.
Never let this down right here on Saturday morning on the Balance Radio Network. When you're joining us live, we're right here at the McDonald's at the corner of Stadium and Northwestern. And all of our national affiliates, we do apologize for the first hour kind of going crazy, but I do think we've got it on target here. And we do want to thank McDonald's. Can you feel it? What is the slogan there? You better know it. I'm loving it. Can you feel it? I'm loving it. I don't know. Join it. What's your name? Austin. You know, they didn't tell me what your name was. They just tell me. Well, joining us is Austin here at McDonald's. Austin, you're an employee here at McDonald's. You're also a student at Catholic. Big game last night. Were you there? Tell us about your season.
So you're a junior, senior? Senior. So are you headed over here to Purdue or IU maybe, or Notre Dame being Catholic, you know, you might, this is a good time to be thinking about Notre Dame. You don't look like you play sports much, huh? Oh, you are. Okay. Michael Phelps. I see. Well, talk to us about what you do here at McDonald's. What's going on here at McDonald's today, and talk to us about McDonald's. Well, that's a very important job, taking orders and do fries. You know, all I can say is we like the fry guy. Puts a little extra fries on the bottom of the bag. You know, those cartons. Oh, absolutely. You've heard of the Godfather? He's the Fry Father. So tell us about what's going on here at the McDonald's here in West Lafayette. Any specials going on? Anything you'd like for us to know about?
Well, actually, we got a 2 for
It's the guard on Purdue's team.
What's that?
The guard for Purdue.
Oh, yeah, he's extra.
Okay. Yep. Good deal. We're monopolizing the conversation with high school football talk. This is it's a good back and forth. You and I share a phone line.
Hey, I'm totally okay with that. This is the perfect weekend to be talking about some high school football. Obviously, the state championship's going on down in Indianapolis. Tell us about who you think's going to win. Let's go with go ahead. Which class? Let's go with class 4A.
They're going to win. And I think Evansville Ritz will win the 5A. So.
Evansville Wright.
Right. Excuse me.
All right. Well, we got to let you get back to work because you got to make some fries. We see the place filling up here.
Yeah, we're getting.
Who's
going
to win today? I'm for Purdue.
I think the team's motivated to get that bowl, so I think they'll win.
You guys are asking a guy who works in the West Lafayette McDonald's. I think we know what he's going to say. still a prediction. Prediction is appreciated. I think, and honestly, there's probably a decent enough chance that you're going to be right today. So appreciate the input. Good stuff.
Thank you very much. What was your name again?
Austin.
I should remember that. Austin Chillin.
Thanks, buddy.
Shout out to Austin. Good stuff. Lafayette Central Catholic. Talking some good high school football. Catholic school football, guys. That's what it's all about. Forget IU, forget Purdue. That's what it's about. It's about winning. It's about winning and tradition. So Catholic school football. Good stuff.
Have a segment sometime. Because you're talking, I think, I literally... You saw I pulled up all those websites about high school football in Indiana. I love nothing more than high school football in Indiana. I think we got a great thing going on. Other than, yes, four teams have won four state championships. Are looking at that. So, yeah, believe me. The only good thing about that, yes, his team, they won their seventh state championship. They did beat Indianapolis Cena, which is a school that I really don't like because when I played in the state championship back in 1990, they beat us by 1 point. So
let's get back up.
Some point here, obviously, the Gremlins dominated our time here. We're live at the big dome right across from the Ross Age Stadium. It's Purdue, it's IU. It's no open bucket. Somebody's going to get a link tonight. Today, and we need to break that down and see who it is. Obviously, other big games going on today. Notre Dame, USC. Notre Dame on the national championship. USC could put Notre Dame out. Morgan, take a look at Ohio and Michigan. Let's talk about that in just a moment, Jimmy.
How big is that game to even want to
match? If all records go out.
That's a pretty rivalry.
It's huge, Tom. It's not even huge. It loses the content. It loses the H because Michigan, as mediocre as they've been this year, I mean, they've had their ups and downs. They've lost some games they shouldn't have lost. People in West Lafayette know about that Michigan Wolverine team. They came and they smacked them down. I mean, they made Purdue look bad. And but Michigan's talented enough with that spread offense, with everything they've got going on with Brady Hoke, the way he's coaching them up. And the way they've looked with Devin Gardner as the quarterback, Michigan may be able to come in and give Ohio State some trouble. Purdue very nearly beat the Buckeyes. IU very nearly beat the Buckeyes. I think this could be the day that Ohio State goes down. I don't think they finish the year undefeated. I think Michigan gets them beat.
And I think everybody else in the Midwest want them to take down Ohio State because, you know, that's one thing you will never, ever not here. It's like, well, if we weren't on probation, who knows? We could have played Notre Dame in the national championship, and that's all you would be hearing about. So, as a fan of Notre Dame, and then I know friends that are Buckeye fans that would never let me live it down, I'm for once rooting for Michigan. Hold on, I'm still pulling them off saying that. Dude, ugh. Ugh.
But what else could go wrong? And that's certainly a sight we don't want to see here today. But, guys, we appreciate your patience as we have dealt with the gremlins that Jimmy brought with him. You know, if Michelle was here, our social media, she would tell you it's because you have a MacBook. You know, she is a huge anti-Apple person. So we'll blame it on Apple. I don't know what it is. We're just going to blame it on you.
I don't know. I mean, just the way that I'm going to stay out of that. I'm going to stay out of that.
Well, let's talk about the game that we're here to talk about. Obviously, we've been making mention to it and dealing with the gremlins at the same time today. IU, Purdue, all records go out the door. And really, you know, as much as we might laugh at IU having a passing grade for a season this year, I think IU has had a passing grade for a season this year. And obviously, they've got a long ways to go. But let's look at where they were at last year. Coming into this game, IU has grown in leaps and bounds, Jimmy. So IU is in a position to win this ball game today.
Yeah, I think that's the only thing where they did have the opportunity to have a passing grade. And last year, with the bar being set so low, and sure, you got a bunch, you got a
protect them in here today. I'll tell you what, the way this, you're going to have to look at them coming in. And they might have to order one of those bacon, egg, and cheese biscuits for $3.99 for two of them. It's going to be a good deal. Whatever. I'm not as good of a corporate chill as the Austin was. He was here. He was doing pretty good stuff on that. Yeah, as soon as we watch, as soon as we get this game underway, it's going to be nice because as soon as the season's over, honestly, I think both these teams are about ready for it to be done with. Because everyone knows about the basketball team that they got down in Bloomington. And everybody knows that this football season is really disappointing. So they've got something that both these fan bases can agree on, that the football season needs to get over with. I don't think anyone wants to watch any more football one way or another.
Well, what I think is really funny, you're talking about basketball and all that, is IU being ranked number one. I was actually curious to find out, is this the first time ever that in their historic histories of relative sports, has IU and Notre Dame been ranked number one at the same time for their respective sports and all that? And yes, this is the first time they've done that, but it's actually not the first time it's happened with two teams from the same state. They actually had two teams from the same city, UCLA in basketball, USC in football.
Ooh.
And then you had the same school for football and basketball at the same time, and that was Florida a couple of years ago.
That's right. I had totally forgotten about Florida when they were so good.
But, yeah, that actually happened. So it's happened a couple times in the past. But, yeah, we're proud here in Indiana. I mean, we've got it taking basketball, and we've got it in football. So hopefully both teams can bring the crown home.
And ironically enough, both teams that are hated here in West Lafayette. So,
exactly.
I don't think the Purdue people are as proud as folks are across the rest of the state.
You know, that would be something. You know what, we should have brought a video camera, because there's a viral video. It's like, okay, the Purdue fan, who do you hate more?
Well, just a couple weeks ago, we were talking about the possibility of IU going to the Rose Bowl. You know.
Scenarios. I was going to say, wasn't it they mathematically it could have happened?
We were having a very big discussion.
Mathematically, it was probably going to happen if they beat Wisconsin, because depending on what happens with Wisconsin today, they're probably going to lose to Penn State on Senior Day. We would have been looking at IU and the Rose Bowl.
Wow.
Quite honestly,
and
I'm fine that didn't happen. I'm fine with that not happening because now the season's insignificant, which is the way IU football is supposed to be.
Well, the last time I think they went to the Rose Bowl was what, like 66?
No, 68.
68, okay.
So who's counting?
Well, you know, it's really funny. There's a website out there. You can plug in a year, and it'll tell you how much of the population has died since then. So in other words, I could like pull it up and see that exponentially, 74% of the people that were alive are dead. So in other words, nobody remembers them going to the Rose Bowl.
Indiana absolutely has the chance to ruin Purdue's season today. I mean, they really do. And they
play the
role at this point.
And which
Purdue is looking to gain some sort of bowl eligibility.
Actually, if I win today,
Purdue plus eligible. Do you agree?
Yes. I mean, like, objectively, they cannot make a bowl game if they don't win today. Because there's no way a 5-win Purdue team is going to be one of the very few. And this is actually something that I'm sure you guys will appreciate. There are few enough bowl-eligible teams this year. And there's a possibility that we could be talking about a sub-500 team being offered a bowl invite just because there are enough bowls and not enough bowl-eligible teams. So people might have to get special exceptions here or there.
If you think about it, there's 35 bowls. And one team or two teams per bowl, that's 70. There's only 126 FBS, so that's just a hair over 50 for sitting at home. And then you look at certain ones when I go, like when Notre Dame, when they get to bowl eligible, they only go to the top tier ones. And if they're playing on, like, December 15th, they're not taking it. And there's other schools that are that way also. I mean, Oklahoma, let's say they lose again and they lose again the following year, they're not going to go back and take a little season hold, and they're going to go to Idaho in the middle of December freeze. So
they're not going to the Motor City Bowl or the Meineke Car Care Bowl. It's not going to go.
That's for, like, seventh place in the MAC.
Okay.
Well, one thing
is for sure is somebody from the Big Ten is going to the Rose Bowl this year. And let's talk logically on who that could be. As we talked a little bit in brief, it's going to be the Wisconsin or Nebraska. So let's talk about what those teams, and according a lot of it depends on what happens today. Obviously, we're going to know who's going to be in all the bowl games today to include the BCS National Championship game. But let's do this.
Oh, I was going to make a bold prediction. The team that's going to the Rose Bowl is going to wear red and white.
We are definitely going to get into our picks right here in just a moment.
I think he's got a point. It's going to be red and white. It's going to be one of those teams. Quite honestly, the way Wisconsin's played recently, I've got to give them a bit of an edge because I didn't think that they were going to have it together. They had Danny O'Brien, the former Maryland quarterback, at the start of the year, and they've managed to turn it around. Monte Ball is Monte Ball, but he came back. He thought he was going to be one of the very top players in the country, and that's really held the form a little more than it's been expected. And then you look at the way that the rest of the team's been able to congeal. They fired the offensive line coach. Matt Canada, the former offensive scourge of Bloomington, has been a semi-capable offensive coordinator. And right now Wisconsin's firing on all cylinders with their third-string quarterback pulling the strings, very nearly engineering an upset of Ohio State. Wisconsin's playing well enough to beat Nebraska, I think.
And another thing you got to throw in there, you said third-string quarterback is doing well. What does that say for their future, talking 2013, 2014? I mean, they're showing really good. Monte Ball, yeah. Talk about a ball from grace somewhat, because wasn't he on the top five for Heisman at the beginning of the season?
Yeah.
And then that's kind of one.
That didn't work out.
His stock has dropped. I mean, his stock's dropped faster than all Klein's did, so.
Wow. There was more than Hostess. I don't know. Yeah. We still haven't been able to get the quickies. But just looking at the way he's been able to put up numbers, he wasn't great at the start of the year, but he's come out and he's really turned things around. He has a chance to break the all-time record today in rushing when it comes to touchdowns.
And who holds that one? Is it Dane?
Well, no, some guy from Miami of Ohio.
Oh, I thought you were talking about the Wisconsin.
We're talking the all-time NCAA record.
Yeah, gotcha.
We definitely want to make sure that we get into our picks. We want to thank McDonald's for allowing us to be here today. We are at McDonald's at right across the street from the stadium. That's right at the corner of Stadium Drive and Northwestern. But we have been having some technical difficulties, but hopefully we bounce back from those. We're gonna take a quick break, and when we get back, we're going to just jump right into our picks. One way or the other,
we're gonna get that done. Yeah. Yeah. When I walk on by, girls be looking like Danny Fly. I pimp to the beat, walking down the street in my new freak, yeah. This is how I roll, animal.
Over the course of history, there have been many great revolutions. The French Revolution, the American Revolution, the Cuban Revolution, and now in 2012, there's a brand new revolution for the fan. The Fan Revolution, IndyProSports.com. That's IndyProSports.com. Indy Pro Sports is for the serious Indiana fan who roots for the Colts, the Pacers, the Indians, and so much more. Make sure you check out IndyProSports.com. Be a part of the revolution on Twitter, Pro Indy, and on Facebook, Indy Pro Sports.
Fast Lane Cycles Incorporated, located at 100 Gasoline Alley Suite D in Indianapolis, specializes in quality performance for your bike. A distributor for all major suppliers, we can do everything from service and motor work to customizations and insurance estimates. Give us a call at 317-247-8088. Fastlane Cycles Incorporated at 317-247-8088.
Okay, guys, we're getting ready to go.
Here we go.
Ready?
The biggest football game there is.
College Football Saturday Special from West Lafayette. All the great rivalry games will be covered. Notre Dame, USC, Michigan, Ohio State, Oregon, Oregon State, Auburn, Alabama, Florida State, Florida, and Purdue, IU. Now here is your host, Tom Marquis.
All right, happy Saturday to you. Welcome back to the McDonald's right across the street from Ross Age Stadium. Today, the big game, IU-Purdue, the old Oaken Bucket. Somebody's going to get a link today. And as we said, unfortunately, we can't talk about a winning season, really what I would call a winning season, from either team. And we do want to get into our bowl picks as well. But I think also, and I don't know if you guys can hear them, but we do have a Sparky. Sparky, are you on the line with us?
Yes, I am.
All right. We're talking some college football, but we're joined with us on the line now, Super Colts fan Sparky, who joins us every week. And I wish you could see Pete right now. He's got his Buffalo Bills hat on, brother. What is up with that?
Oh, man, come on.
Fans of this state.
Well, real quick, we want to talk with Sparky about the Colts and the Bills, and then we're going to have to get on with our bowl picks as well. Sparky, talk with us a little bit about the Colts and the Bills. Obviously, a very disappointing loss last week against the New England Patriots. More than a disappointing loss, and obviously, New England is the team that you have to beat to get to the playoffs. And we're going to have to go through Houston and New England to make that happen.
Yeah, you take away a couple of the miscues and the special teams on New England, and we really didn't even do that bad. I mean, New England's just classless organization. They like to run up the points on anyone and always play to the end. I understand that in a way, but I mean, when it's a blowout, like that, I mean, why do you have to keep on running up the points and keep on throwing the ball? But as far as this weekend goes, the Bills have a good defense. Our running game, it's coming around. But I believe that if we want to beat the Bills, it's going to have to be about 75% of the time we need to pass the ball, because I don't think that we can really do anything on the run against that run defense, and we're going to have to score some points early.
Well, now Pete, obviously we know that you've picked the Buffalo Bills, Jimmy. Picks on the Colts, the Bills, and thoughts on the Colts?
Oh, all season long, and they've really exceeded expectations, because Andrew Luck coming in was expected to throw the ball around, get hit a lot, throw for some yards, throw some touchdowns, throw for some picks, and end up with the Colts with another top 10 pick next year in next year's draft. And instead, they're contending for a playoff spot. If the season ends today, they're in the playoffs. They've played better than people have expected them to. They've won games. Luck has gotten MVP buzz at different points. He's not going to win. The fact people are talking about it, it's been back and forth with him and RG3. But right now, the Colts are looking like the better team. As, of course, RG3's performance against the Cowboys last night, the other night, might have laid it out a little bit. But he's exceeded expectations. He's looked really good, and the Colts have followed right along. They're looking like a playoff team, and if they can beat Buffalo today, that's going to go a long way in putting them in that position.
No, I pretty much agree with you on that. The MVP for Luck, I think after yesterday's performance by RG3, is pretty much, you can start carving that plaque and just get it ready to hand to him. Because, he was unstoppable. He was a machine yesterday. But Luck, I'm happy for the Colts that they did do well in picking a great quarterback, because I think RG3, I don't think he would have been a good match or fit in Indianapolis. So, yeah, they've got a great one. They're following a great quarterback with another great quarterback. And hopefully, from a fan's point of view, not an analytic, I'm hoping the Bills defense, you said they're a good defense. I would say they're just a hair above average. So so that that maybe helps in keeping Luck from having a great game against them. But it's going to be a close one, and I'm going for the Bills just because, you know what, you guys are going to be back on top of the hill in another year or two, so might as well give me one happy, shiny moment.
I'm sure at some point you guys are gonna feel good about that contract one way or another, whether you release him or do whatever. But it should be a decent enough game.
All right, well, Sparky, we appreciate you joining us. Any final thoughts before we gotta let you go, buddy? Did we lose you, Sparky?
We might have lost Sparky.
I think there's no more spark left in Sparky. So, all right, guys, let's get on into it. Obviously, we're here at the Old Oak and Bucket. Despite the gremlins, guys, the show must go on, and we're still able to put the show together. How that's managed to happen is beyond me, but we are still moving forward here as we move into the last half hour.
But it's functional.
You know what?
We may be walking out of here with a limp and the kidneys in the wrong place, but you know what? We'll fix that up in post.
You know what's good about me, Pete, running the board? I forget to turn mics on. So, you know what? Nobody heard what you just said. So,
I just remember when I was running the station and we had shows that happened like this, because believe me, when you're not in the studio, a million things can happen. And believe me, I can sit there and tell you horror stories about, so what was going on? Well, Bordoff was arguing with his girlfriend. It's like, you mean funny, we've got all this thousands of dollars of equipment, and the mistake was because she broke up with him on Facebook, and he couldn't emotionally handle it?
Well, you can't dump someone on Facebook, so I side with him on that one. You just got to go face-to-face, guys. Everybody knows that.
So, yeah, there's a million more things that... Both of our computers don't like the fact that they're that close to a MacBook Pro. And they know, hey, we know you're looking at others.
All right, yeah, we're going to blame it all on the Mac because Apple's out to destroy the world. No, actually, I'm an Apple guy myself, but we do want to talk about a little bit about this, more about this Purdue-IU game. Obviously, thanks to running back Ralph Bolden, two big plays in the defense forcing three turnovers, the Boilermakers still have
basically, it's going to be a good game. I can't get into the finite parts of both teams' plans on what players are going to do well and what's not. But all in all, again, it's going to be a good game. It's going to be close. But the team that's still in it at the end, not playing three quarters, playing the full four quarters, is going to be a And if you're watching and see one team's up by 2-3 touchdowns, I wouldn't necessarily write it off, because if there's still quite a bit of time left in the game, the other team will and could possibly find a way to come back from it.
All right, let's jump into some of our picks and go into what we've got going on in today's games. And I do want to start with Elizabeth's picks. We talked a little bit about Elizabeth's picks after her picks, but let's start with you, Pete. We're gonna make it easy for you. Notre Dame, USC.
You gotta start with the one out of course. I'm never gonna pick against Notre Dame. So yeah, even when back in 07, the worst season in easily 70 years, I still was put their recorded history. Although what's really funny is Elizabeth the Greek, the day she was born was the day after their last loss that year, and they went on to win the last three games of the year, and I kept telling everybody, they're like, oh, what a horrible season. I go, yeah, but my daughter's lifetime. So, I don't want to say that it was a gift from the gods, but their quarterback going out in the UCLA game, I think, kind of helps us. And I mentioned earlier, if it
was on the air or not, I don't know. Him doing the whole guarantee a win and all that, he should have just said something like, hey, if I'm on the field, I'm going to work my hardest to guarantee us a win or something like that. Not the, oh, we're going to do it. It's just like opening your mouth and just shoving your foot in it.
Yeah.
Foregone conclusion, Notre Dame's
going
to the championship.
Oh, goodness. No, don't say that. I mean, Sports Illustrated put Notre Dame on the cover. And you know what they did last week? They put Kansas State on the cover. And they lost to Baylor. Baylor's an awful football team this year, and Kansas State lost to Baylor. And we're talking about Colin Klein as the second coming of Ulysses. That didn't work out.
And how bad is this?
Baylor beats the number one team, and by that margin, and they still have to win this week's game just to get people eligible.
Let's talk about another big game while we still got time to talk about it. Let's talk about Oregon Ducks and Oregon State Beavers. The Ducks and the Beavers, obviously two animals that stay in the water. So somebody's going to get all wet today, Jimmy. Let's talk about that game. What are your thoughts?
You look at it. They call it the Civil War. I'm going to take a time out and take another look at this game. First, I think Oregon's going to win. I think they were a little upset about the way that they played last week, and they're going to stop on the Beavers. They're going to make them look bad. But the Civil War, you're in Oregon. You weren't on either side of the Civil War. Stop requisitioning American history, Oregon. It's not your place. What are you doing? It's not the Civil War. We got to come up with a different name for this. So the game that Oregon wins. Oregon wins.
Rainbow or something.
The Rainbow, yeah.
Northwest, why not
throw that out? We'll come up with something. We'll figure something out. And by the way, there's some IU people sitting back here. I feel a little more welcome from Bloomington. There's some stuff going on. So nothing to complain about right there. But, yeah, Tom, I think both of us are on the same page. Oregon's going to win this game.
Okay, I think Oregon, Elizabeth, going out on a
win. You know what? I'm absolutely going to agree with that.
Put them on upset alert.
I think there is an upset alert there. I think the Beavers can beat the Duck, and that's going to be a huge upset.
Well, there we go. Elizabeth the Greek. I'm not picking against Elizabeth the Greek. I don't know.
Oh, so you're going with the Beavers?
I'll go with the Beavers.
Okay. Let's bounce on over to the Big Ten again. Michigan, Ohio State. Obviously, huge, huge game. People go to jail over this game, Jimmy. So.
And guys, I've actually got a story that's incredibly germane to this topic. A couple of years ago, I had a cousin who got married, and during the reception, they were playing the Ohio State-Michigan game. And this is in Ohio. Everyone's a Buckeye fan. The reception, there's this one TV, you know, maybe 20, 25 inches. The entire reception is crowded around this TV. The bride's sitting over with her husband by the table. They're greeting a couple people who keep coming in the door. But 80% of the folks gather around that TV watching the 2007 game between the Buckeyes and the Wolverines. Ended up being a 42-39 instant classic.
Oh, wow.
Not a lot of attention was paid to the bride and groom on that day.
But it's something that goes that way every single year. That is a big, big rivalry game. One of the biggest in the country. And it's going to be that way again,
sir. And on a side note, with that, some people get weddings done. A wedding planner literally will look at a calendar for stuff like that. They're like, oh, no. You're in Indiana. You know the IU-Purdue games that time or whatever? they will literally do it. They look into that stuff because it was when my brother and sister-in-law were getting married. They were looking at stuff, and they actually had picked the weekend of the Notre Dame Blue and Gold game. They're like, well, it's not live, but people are not going to want to go to that, and they were afraid that people would be coming in with mud or whatever. So they
so what's your pick, Michigan or Ohio State?
Oh, I am going with Ohio State. Not that I want to. That's a tough one. I mean, my heart is totally going to go in my mouth. My hope is Michigan, but let's be realistic. Ohio State. I think that Michigan is on a winning track.
I mean, did you see the 60 Minutes story they did on Michigan?
No.
Talk about, I didn't realize all the stuff they were putting in that. That's a program that's going to be moving forward.
I'm actually going to go off the reservation. I'm going to say the gates of hell open. Both teams fall in. And there is no winner in this game.
I'm like, okay, if there's a win, they can both simultaneously lose.
Oh, that will happen today. Mark my words.
They tie at zero for the first time ever. They tie. They
I was going to say, under the new rules, isn't there? They can't end in a tying college. They have to keep going.
Well, let's go ahead and get our picks in as well for IU Purdue. Because we do have Elizabeth's pick. We saved it for last. We can get loaded to it as well.
Okay.
So we're going to start with you, IU or Purdue?
Purdue.
I'm going to surround myself by IU people.
And on the other signature you sent out of Elizabeth the Greek, the reason we did it is because Elizabeth didn't realize until now that mommy goes to Purdue. And then number two, she was tired of getting beat up on Facebook. You go to her Facebook, facebook.com/ElizabethTheGreek, all the Purdue fans are like, why are you picking against us?
I think IU has puncher's chance. I'm going to go against the grain, against Elizabeth the Greek, because she's been compromised. She normally picked against Purdue for a reason. I'm going to stick with it. I'm picking IU to win today. I think they take home the bucket.
You know what? I'm going to have to go with IU. Only because I'm an IU alumni.
Oh, come on.
I mean, we've got to have a reason.
Oh, boy.
All right. Elizabeth the Greek.
Okay, minions. Time for me to pick of the all-open bucket of the game. I'm going with the Purdue Boyan Divas.
Rough to hear.
She goes Daddy's pick.
Another one is
going down. No, not Daddy's pick. She picked another one. Daddy does not influence in any way. That's the beauty of it. I mean, come on. She knows nothing. I don't think she can pull out of a lineup, let alone picking teams.
Well, no matter who you pick today.
IU or Purdue.
This is the place to be right here in West Lafayette. We're right across the street from Rossi Stadium. We're going to be here for about 10 minutes. We're all going to move on over to that beautiful media center at Purdue. If nothing else, they've got a great place for us media people to hang out.
Oh, yeah.
Because it's kind of cold out there. Yeah, as long as we get indoor heating. That's the only thing.
Well, they can open windows if you want.
Let's not do that.
Some of the media centers I've seen in the past, it's amazing what they've done. I mean, I've been to places that have media centers that were literally old boxcars up on stilts at the back end of bleachers and all that. So, there's something. I'm going to pull the picture for you guys. Just because it's out there, and I want you to describe this one, Tom, because it's really funny. I found this on eBay the other day.
I hope we can all hear.
No, it's a picture. You've got to describe it. But this is a media pass from 1934. It's Notre Dame Northwestern. See what's stamped in red? Please, somebody read. This is the Notre Dame Northwestern. It's at Northwestern, but in red, stamped across it, what does it say?
Talk about how sexist they were back in the 70s.
No women allowed.
Pronunciation.
I know, it looks like Deuce Stadium.
I'm a little worried about the SEC.
Oh my gosh, I think I see what you're trying to see.
I'm a lot of my work.
You know, I might forward this on you so you can put it on the balance and think of this picture.
Don't tweet that out.
Tweet it, exactly. But folks, it's stamped in big red letters across, and it's all caps. Women not admitted to press box. So,
in case there was a question, no longer.
I mean, the only other thing, names not allowed.
Yeah. What a great.
No. Well, yeah, I do want to thank all the minions and Dominion Nation for their patience with us today.
I apologize. I should be the one apologizing because it's obviously me that threw this into a total frenzy. And you guys being able to pull it together despite my presence was something that was admirable to behold.
I tell you what, make sure you guys follow us on Facebook, The Balance, and on Twitter, T Balance, and obviously our company, IndyProSports.com,
ProIndy,
and
IndyProSports.com.
Now, Jimmy, what are you going to be doing at the game today?
Well, I'm going to be tweeting live for IU SportCom. I am a student journalist down there. I'm going to be tweeting along the entire game at IU SportCom. It's always a good time, and especially when IU is involved in a blowout loss. I can things tend to get a little sassy, so... If you'll feel free to follow along, it's a good time. I'm also on Twitter myself. You can follow me at JPCIV. That's five letters, at JPCIV.
Jimmy the intern, coming all the way up from Bloomington to join us live today, bringing his gremlins. Gremlins and minions don't go well together.
Not a winning combination.
B?
Well, I'm happy to come back. I haven't been back to Ross State since I was covering – Notre Dame Purdue back in 2010, which was that comeback win for the Irish. One of the few shining moments in the Coach Weiss era, in my opinion. I was a big fan of his until shortly after that, later on that season. But yeah, I got to give him kudos there. And one of the funniest stories I ever had happen at an event was while I'm there. We get on the elevator, and I am looking. The elevators there, they open front and back. And I go to the back, and I put my back to what would be the back from where I walked in. And I'm looking forward, and everybody in the group that came in the latter half of the elevator is turned around looking towards the other door. And, now I'm drawing Gene Katie walks out. And he looks, he goes, hey, Pete, you don't want to turn around. And all that. I'm like, Gene, you lose my name. Oh, my God. I'm like all excited. I forget. And I'm just like, really? Oh, my God. He knew me. I'm like, does he remember me from Thomas or something? And then I get back there, and the person is with me from the radio station. I go, idiot, look at your shirt. Oh, just me. I'm wearing my radio station shirt, and it's the one that had my name on the side of it.
All right.
That's pretty solid.
He knew my name.
That's pretty solid.
All right, guys. Well, we appreciate you taking time to join us. Jimmy, the intern, coming up from IU. You can follow him on IUSportTalk.com, obviously. We'll be back in the studios next Saturday. I don't know. Maybe I won't be welcome back there after today's show. I want to thank our producer and social media director, Michelle Jones, back in Indianapolis. Thank you so much for helping us out. Make sure you follow us on Twitter, G-Balance, and on Facebook, The Balance. We'll see you guys next Saturday. Have a great time. Why you? Remember, don't drink and drive.
Don't say that too loudly.
I had to do it. We are live here in the territory, that's for sure. Do I know how to clear out a McDonald's or what? But, you know, when we do have an IU guy, a Purdue guy, and you're an IU student. So, but, you know, typically we do have a Purdue student. We invited him. He couldn't make it. I don't know.
Stuff going on.
I'm sure. Well, guys, that's going to do it for this week, and we'll see you guys next Saturday right here on the Balance Radio Network.
Come on, feel the noise.
Mimi.
Well, when you gotta go, you gotta go.
You have made me very angry. Very angry indeed.
Oh, son of a bleep, son of a bleep, gun. You thought I was gonna say son of a b, didn't you?
That's all, folks.